It is the church's desire that the thoughts of the faithful should be turned to our Lord's sacred passion during this season of Passion Tide. And so today I thought I would give a bit of a detailed account of our Lord's sufferings as he hung on the cross. The sufferings of our Lord's body were greater than anyone could bear. They were immeasurably great, so that no one before him nor anyone after could ever suffer as much as he did in his body as he hung on the cross. Now, the ancient world in those days considered crucifixion to be the most painful of deaths. Now, to be hanged from the arms stretched upwards for a long period of time was a pain that they say was most intolerable. There was once a group of English martyrs who were suspended from beams by means of ropes which were attached to their hands. They were left there hanging, they say, between heaven and earth from those rafters, hanging for hours, for quite a while, for the purpose of getting them to deny their faith. And when the ropes were finally cut down, it says that they fell to the ground as if dead. Such was the pain that it caused. But our Lord, as you know, was not bound to the cross by a rope. Rather, he was put there with nails. Nails that were forcefully driven into his hands and his feet. And remember, too, to understand some of this pain, that in the hands and feet we have many, many very sensitive nerves and tendons. And they say that these nerves and tendons, some of them in our Lord, were torn and others were bruised. So imagine dropping a brick, not on your toes, but on the further back on your foot. That would hurt pretty badly. But to have nails driven through them is quite the pain. Furthermore, it was customary at crucifixions to fasten to the middle of the beam, so where the main part of our Lord's body would have rested. It was customary to attach a prop where upon which the main weight of the body could rest, so that the weight of the body was not merely on the hands. You see, if all the weight was on the hands, he would have come off the cross. The nails would have torn through his hands. So there was a prop that was customarily put in the middle of the cross to hold the body up. And St. Irenaeus and St. Justin Martyr do say that on our Lord's cross there was this support, but that there was no support for the feet. His feet were nailed directly to the main beam of the cross. The result was that the main weight of his body was partly on his hands, and then partly on his feet, so that if he were to relieve his hands and lean on his feet, then the other would suffer all the more. He could not find any relief on the cross. And it says that every move, even the slightest tremor, caused our Lord excruciating pain. Also, they say that his hands and feet were so swollen and his muscles so tense. Remember hearing once that they actually, when they made the holes in the cross, they had actually already measured his wingspan, if you will. And then they put the holes for the nails out farther than his hands would have reached. And that is why when they pulled his arms out, his muscles were already tense. And then they pulled his arm, made it reach those holes. So you can imagine the tension that resulted in those in his muscles. And as a result of this, we don't think of these things too often, do we? As a result of this position of his body on the cross, the circulation of blood to his lungs and his heart was partly impeded, and this led to a sense of suffocation. Our Lord could not breathe, and this was accompanied by a sensation of fear. Those of you who cannot swim, for example, know what that feeling of suffocation is like. When you go underwater, you feel like you're suffocating. And that is what our Lord experienced. And it was accompanied with the sensation of fear and a contraction of the heart. All of this happened to our Lord. And his body, which was already covered with wounds from the scourging, as well as from the crowning of thorns, was exposed to the fresh and cold air for 3 hours. And you know what that's like, to go outside after you've somehow managed to get a deep cut, and then to have it exposed to the air, how that stings. Now our Lord was from head to toe, his flesh was ripped, not just cut, ripped, so that they say it hung like ribbons from his bones. And this was exposed to the cold air. And inflammation and fever finally set in, and his body took on a very livid color. And we must not forget to add to these physical sufferings his exhaustion and his faintness caused by all the previous tortures, being dragged from place to place, the scourging, the crowning of thorns, and everything else. We must not forget to add those. Now, our Savior suffered not only physically in his body, but he suffered in his honor. He was insulted. He was disgraced by his enemies. First, we must remember that our Lord is God. That's the first thing to remember, an obvious statement. He is God. He is the creator of the universe, worthy of all honor and glory, worthy of the perfect love of every soul. And yet he died on the cross. He died on a cross, which was the most shameful of all deaths that could be devised. Now, among the Romans, if you were a free citizen of Rome, you could not be crucified. But among the Romans, however, crucifixion was reserved only for the worst criminals. And these criminals were, by the way, they were so looked down upon. If you were crucified, you were bad enough. They were so despised and looked down upon that they were not even worthy of having their bodies buried after they were crucified. And yet Christ, who never committed a single sin, never a single crime, not even the slightest imperfection, never did he insult anyone where he was at fault. He was nailed to the cross as if he were a criminal. And to add humiliation to humiliation, he was crucified between two men who were not only robbers, but murderers. Now imagine yourself in a similar situation, that you are the one being crucified. You are being nailed to the cross, which was considered to be the most shameful of deaths, and that you would be between two thieves. And then furthermore, he was stripped of all of his garments except for the loincloth. Remember too that all of this was done in broad daylight, in public, and on top of a hill for all to see. Let's not forget, too, that this was the festival of the Pasch. So everyone, all the Jews, would come from far away, and they would all meet in Jerusalem to celebrate the Pasch. So they would be walking by all these many strangers, and all they saw, our Lord's divinity was hidden, all they saw was another man. And they regarded him as a criminal, just like the two thieves on each side of him. But what dishonored him the most were the blasphemies and the jeers that were uttered against him on the cross. First of all, it was the bad thief who blasphemed him. Then it was the passers-by. These blasphemed him by critical and sarcastic remarks. They would, as it says, they would wag their heads critically, and they would say such insulting things as they looked at him. Va, thou that destroyest the temple of God, and in 3 days dost rebuild it, save thy own self. Come down from the cross. And then the executioners joined in too. These were, might say, the least guilty of all, because they truly didn't know what they were doing. They had just nailed our Lord to the cross, and now they say to him tauntingly, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And then, worst of all, were the insults offered by the chief priests and the ancients and the scribes and Pharisees. Now, the passers-by, they spoke their insults directly to Christ, as if they were speaking to him. But the chief priests were so contemptuous and wanted to show such contempt to our Lord that they would not address their insults to him directly. Rather, the chief priests would be speaking among themselves, pointing at our Lord on the cross, mocking him. And that is much more insulting. I don't know about you. I would much rather be insulted to the face than for people right behind me to speak among themselves about me. But that is what they did to our Lord. He saved others, they said. Himself he cannot save. And finally, besides the sufferings of body and the sufferings that he endured in his honor, our Lord also endured very serious pains of the soul. Now, something to remember is that the sufferings of the soul are much, much worse than physical pain. For example, mental anguish, despair, depression. Those are all sufferings of the soul. When we lose a loved one to death, that feeling of loss that you have, that is a suffering of the soul. And most of us would much rather suffer a broken arm than the pains of losing a loved one. But yet our Lord suffered in his soul. Think of this. No sooner was our Lord crucified than the soldiers were already fighting over our Lord's clothing. There were 4 soldiers, and so they ripped the seams of our Lord's garments, that is, the garments that had a seam to them, such as his mantle, and so each soldier received a quarter of those garments. But St. Bonaventure relates that the main garment that our Lord wore was woven by Our Lady when Jesus was just a child, and that this garment grew with him until the time he was a man. So he had it all his life long, and it was woven. There was not a single seam to be found in it. So they couldn't just tear it apart and divide it. They began to cast lots for this. And so there our Lord was. Imagine the scene. There our Lord was, hanging on the cross for the salvation of the world, performing the greatest act of charity that man had ever seen or would ever witness, and there beneath the cross, in full view of our suffering Savior, were the 4 soldiers shaking their dice in a cup and rolling them out on the ground so that they could find out who would win his last garment. Could you imagine the pain of soul in watching people playing games right before you, as you are suffering the most excruciating pains, totally ignoring you, and rather they're laughing and fighting over your things. The second suffering of soul for our Lord was the feeling of abandonment of heaven and earth. There was the lack of sympathy on the part of the people. Remember that just days before, they had come together and shouted their hosannas, and now here they are, showing no compassion. And among the crowd, to think of this, among the crowd were so many people to whom our Lord gave many blessings. Perhaps some of them were healed by him miraculously. Perhaps some were even converted for a time. And yet here they are in this crowd, showing no compassion. Then he was abandoned by his friends. I don't know about you, but in times of suffering, I couldn't imagine the pain of being abandoned by friends, so that you had no one. But our Lord was abandoned by his friends, all except for St. John. And then on top of it, we never think of this, as our Lord hung there on the cross, if he looked to his left, if he looked over his left shoulder, what did he see? He could see Judas hanging himself from the tree. One of his dearest friends, he watched. Here he was, our Lord suffering so much. Everything was gone for him. Everything was dark. And on top of it, he has to watch a friend commit suicide in his final hours. Then, so man had abandoned him, and he looks to heaven. No angel came to serve him as they did after his 40 days of fasting. No angel came to console him as St. Gabriel did in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was no angel to console him. And our Lord said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And lastly, he felt pain of soul at the thought that so many souls would not benefit from his sufferings and from his passion. Now, this picture that I just painted for you of the crucifixion is a very bleak one. Well, it's the reality. And there is so much more that can be said. But this scene ought to make us realize the infinite charity that urged Christ to endure such pain. And it ought to be an incentive to us to bear our crosses more patiently. And I end with a quote from St. Bernard of Clairvaux. For the wounds of Christ are on the one hand sources of blood to teach us to suffer, and on the other hand, they are sources of fire to teach us to love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.